Milé dámy, vážení pánové, dovolte mi, abych vás přivítal společně s kolegou Vojtěchem Novotným na dnešním online sympóziu společnosti Philips Česká republika, a to v rámci 33. výročního sjezdu České kardiologické společnosti. Toto sympózium je jak jinak věnováno zobrazovacím metodám a téma je inovativní přístup v léčbě koronárního a strukturálního onemocnění. Budeme mít celkem 3 prezentace a já poprosím rovnou prvního přednášejícího Erika Buce. Eric, may I ask you to start your presentation about image-guided therapy, newest trend and the future. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Professor Tobolsky, and thank you for having us in this online session of the Czech Cardiology Conference. I am employee of Royal Philips, so there is some conflict of interest here. Some focus that I like to do here is actually 3 things. Why Philips is innovating and the different pathway that we choose as a company. The last 2 presenters will actually show some interesting cases of the technology coming to life, I would say. 3 pillars that I like to show you. One is driven by technology, with a few examples. One of driven by procedure changes and innovations. You can think about different devices, right, that are now possible to be used. And also the driven by challenges. I think you will recognize the challenges that I will show you later and how, as a company, we try to innovate and help you in the end, right? So let's start by driven by technology. Our platform, and I think in general, as hospitals, this is something most of the hospitals don't really look at, right? There are a lot of publications on clinical, but not so much on human factors and ergonomics that have a relationship to patient safety. And this is quite an interesting study. It's quite old, but I still quite relative to be used, I would say, right? So if you look to the physical ergonomics, so how often is staff lifting a patient in the bed to the table of an angio machine or a cath lab or even CT or an MR, right? The cognitive ergonomics, so how is training, how is the mental workload of staff? And macroergonomics, so how is the coordination, how is the teamwork, etc. Looked at? And I think with the platform that we introduced called the Azurion, many of these items, we tick these boxes to help on patient safety, but also look at staff in general. Another example is what you see here. These are technologies we all use in daily life. I think we all have a mobile phone. We all work on tablets, and it's a common item in our daily life. So why not bring such a technology we are used to today into the cath lab? And an example, what we did here is our touchscreen module. At table side, you will have a touchscreen with all settings you need to have, you know, at the fingertip. Manipulating images. I think we all, when we have our mobile phone and we take pictures, the first thing we do, we want to see the details. So we pinch and we zoom. Right? We use a similar technology in the cath lab. You manipulate it on the touchscreen and you see it on the monitor in the screen. So why not bring items that we all used to in our daily life directly into the cath lab? This will also help, you know, in doing a procedure quicker, faster, and more safer. Just some examples on how we bring technologies that we have in our daily life into the cath lab. The other one, I think, is maybe more relevant, is the driven by procedure changes. And one of the best examples, I would say, is the structural heart diseases that used to be traditional surgery, but now moving into minimally invasive. And I think later we will see some interesting examples of using such a technology in treating these structural heart diseases. And here, you know, the challenge that you see here is the growth, as you saw and as you are aware of, but also the shortage in expert staffs. And long waiting times for structural heart diseases. And as a company, we need to adjust to these changes and challenges and see how we can help in doing these procedures quicker, faster, but also quite straightforward. One example is the Art Navigator, where we take pre-acquired CT images, and we have a few steps you need to follow that you see on the bar here, where most of the steps are really done automatically. So the only thing we do is we take a pre-acquired CT data set, we make all the segmentation, the measurements done more or less automatically. We fuse the CT with the patient on the data on the table, and you have your procedure done quicker, faster, and safer. Right. The other example is the fusion with ultrasound. Later on, from the hospital in Debrecen, they will show you some really interesting cases where they use the Echo Navigator. And this is fusion with what we call anatomical intelligence. So we take information from Echo and we overlay it live with fluoroscopy. And our latest generation is using artificial or anatomical intelligence from the ultrasound and use it as a hard model live on the fluoroscopy. Quite easy, simple, straightforward, because we look at the shape of the probe, we recognize the probe, and it automatically overlays it on the live fluoroscopy. So these are innovations that we did for your structural heart diseases. There was always one, let's say, category being left out, and that was mainly because the size of the 3D TE probe was too large. For this, we introduced recently, actually last year, a new mini probe, as we call it, that can be used for congenital heart diseases. And this is actually a study, not on the pediatrics, but also on the adult patients, that there is a risk of complications to the esophageal, right? Because of the TE that is inserted. And you can imagine, and as you know, the larger the diameter of the probe, the more chances there are of complications. And by using a smaller probe, you know, it can increase the overall patient comfort. So that's opening up a new dimension, I would say, because here there has been some studies that by using this mini TE probe, which is almost, you know, 67% smaller compared to the standard TE, right, that an LEA occlusion can actually be done under local anesthesia, right, instead of full anesthesia. Also here, as you can imagine, it will have benefits for the patient, but also for hospital, because the procedure can be done quicker, right? Or in this case, for congenital heart diseases, where they looked in into the Children's Hospital in Denver to see how they can use this mini probe for septal defect closures. And here they actually see that it's superior, right, compared to not using the tool. So also by using this probe, the technology opens up for congenital heart diseases, right, and pediatric patients. From image quality point of view, maybe difficult to judge on this monitor here and not on a medical grade monitor, but the feedback is that it's identical as a high-end or large size 3D TE probe. Next topic is the driven by challenges. Also here in cardiology, if you look to the challenges that you most probably face today is that, you know, more patients, many new devices for treatments, new techniques, new procedures, radiation dose, still a big concern, I would say, for staff, but also for patients, right? Longer and more complex procedures. Talk about the structural heart cases, BMI. So also the patients are getting more obese, getting into steep angles. Is the X-ray tube and the system powerful enough to actually treat these patients? So there is quite still a lot of challenges in the cath lab, in the ones that you have in your daily life. Right. One innovation that we brought to market is the dynamic coronary roadmap. Later on, we will go into more details with some clinical examples here. But the dynamic coronary roadmap was introduced for reducing of contrast medium. Yeah. What it does, it's creating a mask and dynamically motion compensated has a real-time overlay under your flimmer, which could save you and should save you a burst of contrast to give to know where you are with your guide wire. For this, we did a study, which we call DCR for contrast trial, with six sites that randomized patients either using the dynamic coronary roadmap or not using the dynamic coronary roadmap. Almost 400 patients that were enrolled. And we actually showed the results last year at the EuroPCR, right? Where there was a contrast reduction of close to 30% less, right? Especially beneficial for patients that have renal problems, where you cannot use so much contrast. Yeah? Reduction of close to 30%. But also here, the number of angiograms dropped with about 25%, which then again has a direct link to the amount of X-ray dose that you use. Right? So a simple, straightforward tool or application is solving a few of the challenges that you have, or at least bringing the challenges down with a significant number. I would say, you know, 30% less of contrast, 25% less angiograms to be taken, which is quite a reasonable number. On top of that, of course, which is the technology which we have longer in place, which is our Clarity IQ technology, where we, again, we managed to drop the dose dramatically without any loss of image quality. And also here, we did quite some studies where you see two acquisitions of the same patient, same frame speeds, everything was exactly the same, but the amount of dose, you know, was about half. But then there is always this challenge. You still, as of today, need X-ray, right? So what about if there would be a cath lab or an angio suite without any X-ray? And also here we make a giant step with our technology, which is called LumiGuide. You might also refer it as FORS, a fiber optics real shape, right? One disclaimer here that it's pending availability, country specific, so we're slowly rolling out. But I still want to show you the technology which is behind it. And that is in the guide wire, we will have a fiber optics or a laser. So a laser signal in real time knows where the guide wire is. So here you see different laser signals inside the fiber optics. And it's sensing back and forth with a lot of small mirrors inside. And based on that, he knows in real time where the guide wire is. As you can see on the monitor here in yellow, you would have your guide wire. So instead of using fluoroscopy, we use optical sensors inside the guide wire. This is a nice animation, but we go from X-ray to a force technology. This is a more clear explanation. So here you see the catheter and guide wire. There is no X-ray, but on a separate monitor, they know exactly where the guide wire is. There is no cameras, there is nothing else in the room beside the guide wire and of course a device that is sensing out the X-ray, right? And in real time, you see it on the monitor. Here you see it in practical case. So they took one mask. In this case, it's a DSA run. Guide wire in, the guide wire in yellow, catheter in blue. And in real time, on one mask, without any X-ray, they move the system around. Here they use the pre-acquired CT dataset. And the nice part is you can manipulate that model, as they do here, in a position where the C-arm will never reach. and all of this without any fluoroscopy. Here is a test case setup. So on DSA, and this is with the force. So here it's trial and error to cannulate the side branch. And here they use without any X-ray. So here the time was approximately 6 minutes with, of course, this 5 minutes of fluoro. And here half the time, but also more important, no X-ray being used. We have a few sites that is using it. So this is the UMC in Utrecht, bringing the guide wire up, pre-acquired CT. So here they had issues in getting the guide wire up. So here you see, and then you can cannulate much easier than before, than trial and error. So it's straightforward, I would say. Here they used two DSA runs, tried to getting the guide wire in the stand of the aorta. So this is a single plane system, but because they took two images, one AP and one lateral, next to each other, they use a monoplane like a biplane setup. So they used actually two exposures, one AP, one lateral, to create the mask. And then bringing the guide wire up, they didn't use any X-ray at all. Just a small example of a right anterior iliac artery based on 3D array, right? And here you see again guide wire moving upwards. And the nice part is they can have biplane view, and you see on both views where the force catheter is. And here they place this model, right? The only thing they do is if you take CT, you fuse the CT with the patient on the table, and that's it, right? And then everything else is done without any X-ray. Here in lower legs, right? They actually took two runs, and here you see one image, then immediately goes into the next image, bringing your guide wire down. And again, without any X-ray, this procedure is done, or minimum amount of X-ray. At the moment, it's only released for peripheral and aorta, not for cardiac imaging yet, but who knows what the future will bring. But this is, again, a big step in innovating and bringing your cath lab back to close to zero use of X-ray. As a conclusion, I think we innovate where it adds value, right? Either on daily innovations or daily items that we use on daily life, or driven by procedures and technologies on the device side, and of course covering and helping you in solving challenges that you would have in your daily life. Yeah. I think the future is bright, and we go hand in hand. Thank you for your attention. If you still have any questions, please reach out to me or Michael Zara for any questions. And with this, back to the studio.
Eric, thank you very much. Very interesting presentation. The discussion will be at the end of the block, so please stay with us. And I'd like to ask at the moment Dr. Vojtěch Novotný, intervention cardiolog z kardiologického centra AGEL Pardubice. Pane doktore, řekněte nám, jak používáte dynamický koronární roadmap v klinické praxi.
Vážený pane profesore, milé dámy, vážení pánové, děkuji za pozvání. Vážím si toho, že můžu se tady podělit o své zkušenosti s touto technologickou novinkou od společnosti Philips v rámci tohoto sympózia. Já jsem zvolil takový název Highway to Heal. Asi ve vás něco evokuje, ale já se nebudu věnovat těžké cestě rockového muzikanta k podání australské kapely AC/DC, ale budu se věnovat tomu klinickému využití něčeho, čemu se říká dynamický koronární roadmap. Zmínil to už můj předřečník Eric Butz. Je to novinka na poli koronárních intervencí. Jako konflikty zájmu bych uvedl honorář od společnosti Philips za tuhle přednášku a svoje nadšení pro technologie. Tak, co to tedy dynamický koronární roadmap je? Je to pokročilá navigační technologie na systému Philips Azurion, tedy nejnovějším systému rentgenovém pro katetrizační laboratoře. My v Pardubicích máme k dispozici tento systém od loňského roku, takže nějaké zkušenosti už jsme nazbírali a nabízí v podstatě v reálném čase vizualizaci koronárního řečiště během perkutánních koronárních intervencí. Nabídne nám takový poloprůhledný takovou vrstvu, která ten původní angiogram promítá nad živou fluoroskopii a která automaticky sleduje pohyby srdce pacienta i toho C-ramene. Co k tomu potřebujeme? Pro dobrou práci vždycky potřebujeme kvalitní tým a já mám to štěstí, že pracuji ve společnosti těchto skvělých lidí v pardubickém kardiocentru. Ale proč ukazuju tohle fotku, je ten krasavec za těmi sestřičkami a lékaři. To je ten Philips Azurion, tedy nový systém, který používáme teď. Máme ho na dvou katlabech. Ale jaké si představuji, jsou hlavní přínosy pro praxi této technologické novinky. Používáme ho hlavně při zavádění vodičů, balonku a stentů při našich intervencích. Jak už bylo zmíněno, tak vede ke snížení potřeby opakovaných angiografií, tedy těch na rentgenové záření náročných módů během vyšetření a zejména méně kontrastu pro naše pacienty. Urychlení komplexních výkonů, jako jsou chronické totální uzávěry, bifurkace, mnohočetné stenózy a vyšší bezpečnost právě pro rizikové pacienty, zejména tedy s renálním postižením. Jak to funguje na tom konkrétním přístroji? Jsou to takové tři kroky. Ty první dva bych vám teď ukázal na takové krátké sekvenci. My si zvolíme nějakou konkrétní projekci, ve které chceme pacienta vyšetřit. Musíme si na tom touchscreenu, který Erik ukazoval, zvolit správné nastavení, to znamená, to je tahle ta záložka Coronary Tools. A pak už v podstatě zmáčkneme ten pedál, který je pro akvizici. Provede se běžný nástřih kontrastní látky a to, co jsme viděli v pravém horním rohu, bylo velmi rychlé zanalyzování. Tady to vidíte. To, co nám ten systém nabídne, že je připraven, tak je takováhle roadmapa, to znamená mapa těch koronárních cév. A jak vypadá pak to překrytí té živé fluoroskopie, to vám ukážu tady už. V podstatě je to tam, kde jinak bychom nic neviděli a jenom si musíme pamatovat, tak bez nástřiku kontrastní látky v podstatě vidíme kompletní koronární řečiště. Pokud měníme projekce a vrátíme se do té původní, systém nám označí, že se blížíme některé z projekcí, kde už máme takovou tu mapu k dispozici a pouze tím tlačítkem jako pro přijetí, takovým OK, které je tam na tom systému, můžeme to C-rameno dát přesně do té pozice, kde jsme byli a využít tu původní roadmapu. Pokud jich máme více během toho výkonu, tak samozřejmě můžeme si zvolit tu, která se nám hodí nejlépe a takovým zámečkem si ji zamknout a ta nám tak slouží na tu navigaci. A z takových technologických detailů může se stát, že v projekt během toho výkonu, že dochází k takovému dočasnému misalignmentu, to znamená, že se to trošku rozchází, ale většinou si je to vlivem nějaký extrasystol a velmi rychle se to dá upravit. Ta optimalizace workflow, o tom také mluvil Erik, je to něco, co by mělo být co nejpřirozenější pro té práci a bez nějakého zabránění, bez zdržování, aby dobře fungovalo. A výhledově samozřejmě my nepoužíváme, ale integrace s dalšími nástroji, jako je IWUS, IFR, FFR, všechno je k dispozici. Typické klinické situace, kde já si představuju, že můžeme mít výhodu tohoto systému, tak jsou zejména komplexní koronární intervence, akutní koronární syndromy a pro mě osobně je to i oblast chronických totálních uzávěrů, které já se věnuji. Tady vám ukážu něco, co bych označil jako tedy PCI vedená tímto dynamickým koronárním roadmapem. Tady jsem si vybral, je to výkon z minulého týdne, nepříliš složitá PCI, ale zahrnující bifurkaci na zadámu circumflexus. Tam vidíte dvě stenózy. Tady máme tu akvizici, vidíte velmi rychlé zanalyzování a máme připravený tu naši mapu. A na základě té mapy, já jsem v tomto případě tady trošku zrychlené, tady je zavádění toho koronárního vodiče, vyhledání té správné větve, to znamená, to bude ta tepna, ta ramus marginalis sinister. Tak. Tady už vidíme zavádění balónku a tady je navigace na to místo, kde byla ta stenóza, opět navigace pouze podle tohohle systému. Dilatace i té proximální stenózy, opět vidíme tady. Tady je nástřih po predilataci, vidíme, že tam je recoil a je tam zejména přítomeno ohrožení té boční větve, o kterou nechceme přijít. To znamená, zvolil jsem zavedení druhého vodiče, zase navigace opět jenom tím dynamickým koronárním roadmapem. V tuto chvíli ten vodič vstoupí do té kýžené větvičky. My můžeme pokračovat bezpečně ve stentování. Stent dopravujeme tady. Není to tam úplně dobře vidět, ale pro zvýraznění je tam ten kroužek žlutý. A ve chvíli jsme spokojení, tak toto je ta implantace stentu. Kontrolní angiografie a vidíte, že utištění té boční větvičky, takže jsem se rozhodl provést rewiring, to znamená výměnu těch vodičů a roztažení i toho bočního odstupu té boční větve ze stentu. Takže výměna vodičů, zavedení toho původně vodiče z hlavní větve do boční přes oko stentu a naspět ten vodič do té hlavní větve. Tady je navigace těch takzvaných kissing balonků, to znamená ty, které roztáhnou zároveň. Tady jsou ty tři markery, které tam vidíme. Jeden balonek je do té hlavní větve, jeden do té boční a simultánně insuflace vlastně ošetří tu bifurkaci. A pak poslední část postdilatace toho proximálního úseku, takzvaná proximální optimalizace, opět navigovaná pouze pomocí tohoto roadmapu. Výhodou je, že ve stejném okénku můžeme použít funkci Stent Boost, což je další taková technologická pomůcka, tedy zvýraznění stentu. A vidíme jasně, že jsme uvnitř stentu a můžeme postdilatovat na vysoké tlaky a toto už je finální nástřik. Takže provedli jsme intervenci, která zahrnovala 4 angiografické záznamy, 24 ml kontrastní látky na ty 4 angiografie, které jste viděli. Celé to bylo udělané ve skiaskopii 7,5 frameů za sekundu a celé je vlastně vedené tím dynamickým koronárním roadmapem. O této studii už mluvil Erik, to znamená, je to randomizovaná studie DCR versus angiografie vedená PCI a zejména teda velmi významná redukce objemu kontrastní látky a počtu těch rentgenologicky náročných akvizicí. V klinickém settingu u STEMI, například tento case u závěr RIA u pacientky. A tady se mi stala situace, kdy po predilataci, tady už vidíme to i v tom častějším použití, ne, že to tady roadmap je v tom bočním okénku. Tady je vytažení toho vodiče. A co by se nemělo stát, ale někdy se to stane, každému se to někdy stane, když se podíváte, vodič byl tady a po stažení balónku vodič není. Takže došlo k vytažení vodiče v té situaci, kdy jsme měli predilatováno, můžou tam být disekce. Takže já jsem použil ten koronární roadmap na to, abych bezpečně zavedl ten koronární vodič zpátky. Vidíte, že i guiding byl posunutý, tohle je výrazně zrychlené, protože to nebylo úplně jednoduché ten vodič vrátí do té správné pozice, ale vlastně bez nějakéhokoliv nástřiku, bez ověřování se podařilo zavést až do periferie. A ten výkon pak pokračoval už běžně. A tady je ještě příklad těch velmi komplexních zákroků. Tohle je chronicky totální uzávěr ostiaria. A tady to je case, který jsme dělali společně s docentem Kočkou na Vinohradech, kam jezdím proktorovat právě tyhle komplexní zákroky. A my jsme se zvolili tohle komplexní CTO uzávěr ria ostiálně u dominantního levotypu. My jsme měli plán, že zkusíme projít cirkumflexou, septoseptální kolaterálou zpátky do ria a tam se budeme navigovat v podstatě na tu proximální punkci toho závěru. Tak se také stalo. Tady máme nástřik té periferie cirkumflexy, která dávala ty kolaterály. Když se podíváme, tak tohle to jsme chtěli projít. A tady, jak to vypadá v tom dynamickém koronálním roadmapu, vidíme tam tu tenkou větvičku, včetně toho esíčka, které tam je vidět. Takže když tam ten vodič takhle směřuje, tak se nám pomohlo se i bez nástřiku kontrastu vrátit. Tady už jsme vlastně v té uzavřené tepně. A tady je ten, ještě jednou ten plán, který jsme měli. A takhle, jak dopadl ve skutečnosti. Vidíte, že velmi pomáhá pak vidět ten retrográdní vodič, ten antegrádní vodič a vidět vlastně i jak to koronální řečiště vypadá, aniž bychom nastřikovali kontrastní látku. Jaké vnímám omezení a výzvy v tom použití tohoto systému? Jsou to samozřejmě velké pohyby, neklidný pacient, správné pořízení toho referenčního snímku, aby byla dobrá plnící fáze. A ve velké části u těch novinek vnímám, že důležitý je velmi i mindset operatéra, tedy jestli je takzvaně růstový, to znamená nové věci akceptovat a přijímat jako další výzvu, nebo jestli je takový ten uzavřený, že tak, jak to dělám a jak jsem to dělal vždycky, tak je to správně. Kdybych to měl shrnout, máme k dispozici nástroj pro efektivnější a trochu o něco bezpečnější PCI. Jeho využití vidím jak u jednodušších, tak zejména u komplexnějších PCI a umožňuje nám lépe plánovat a navigovat a minimalizovat i rizika u některých specifických pacientů. Tak v takové podobě to může přinášet benefit nejen pro operatéry, ale samozřejmě i pacienty. Tak a tady je ta moje parafráze té písně z roku 79. Ta už svůj test v tom testu s časem obstála. Jestli se tak stane i s touto technologií, to ještě nevíme. Ale myslím si, že podle toho, co přináší, tak nám může opravdu na té cestě za vyléčením nebo léčením našich pacientů pomoci. Děkuji za pozornost.
Pane doktore, děkuji moc. Bylo to výborné sdělení, protože jste velmi elegantně ukázal na praktických příkladech, co znamená dynamický koronární roadmap, jak může zlepšit terapii, snížit samozřejmě záření, ale nejpodstatnější je ten výsledek. Já jsem za to šťastný, že máme řadu už českých pracovišť, kde tato technologie je používána, a zejména pro ty komplexní case je to velkou výhodou. Ale jak jsem říkal, diskuse bude nakonec a já nyní poprosím o třetí sdělení pana doktora Attily Kertése z Klinického centru Univerzity Debrecen v Maďarsku, který nám něco řekne o klinických zkušenostech s Echo Navigatorem a Heart Navigatorem.
Dear colleagues, it's a great pleasure for me to share our clinical experiences with two advanced imaging integration tools of the Philips Azurion system, Echo and Heart Navigator, which we are using in our everyday practice here at the Congress of the Czech Society of Cardiology. My name is Attila Kertész. I work at the Department of Cardiology and Cardiac Surgery at the University of Debrecen, Hungary. We have initiated our structural program in 2012, beginning with left atrial appendage occlusion. And since then, the introduction of different procedures had led to development of a mature and an advanced program with quite a numerous cases. In February 2012, a new hybrid room was established at our institution, equipped with Philips Azurion system, including the available Echo Navigator and Heart Navigator options. During the first week of initiation, with the invaluable support of Michal Sara, we have tried all the procedures we can handle with these properties. And I am really proud to say that we are using them daily, and those features are giving a lot of to our structural program. Here is your core team and the hybrid room, and I have to say all the members are highly familiar with the system. So let's start with Heart Navigator TAVI. While Heart Navigator is primarily used for TAVI, its utility extends well beyond just transcatheter aortic valve implantation. Even if one might initially think that having these options available is not that important, you will see that they significantly contribute to both the safety and efficacy of the procedures, ultimately reducing procedural time and improving outcomes. So, usually with TAVI, you have a Freeman Geo report and you design your procedure accordingly. With Heart Navigator, you have the ability to load the full CT scan into the system and review it in 3D. This allows you to visualize all the curvatures, the angles, the aorta and the annulus, check coronary heights, extent of calcification. Having 3D visualization of the root anatomy enables you to predict coronary occlusion risks more acutely. And you can also try to choose valve fitting right before the procedure. And I have to tell you, we have changed the valve size a few times before. Here you can see a detailed visualization of the aortic arch and the ascending aorta. There's a slight aneurysm present in the ascending aorta. The arch shows a noticeable curvature and the annulus is tilted in relation to the left ventricle outflow track. The system also includes presets for visualizing root anatomy in 3D. Surface recognition feature highlights key structures such as the leaflets, calcification, coronaries, ascending aorta, and left ventricle. Additionally, you have the option to add tissue markers if you need to highlight any other structures. In this preset, you can clearly observe the left main coronary height, as well as the width and height of the sinus of Valsalva. There are presets for visualizing the origin of the right coronary artery, the cross-sectional measures of STG, the Valsalva, and annulus, LVOT as well. And also you can move these images in 3D to have more information out of them. Additionally, the system allows you to simulate how the valve will fit. In this case, the report from the company recommended using a 29mm Navitor valve. We tested it before the procedure, and on the pictures at the bottom, it's clearly visualized that the 29mm valve has a significant degree of oversizing, indicating potential issues such as pop-up, valve misalignment, or other difficulties during implantation. Based on these images, the 25mm Navitor valve would be optimal choice for the patient. However, they decided not to downsize by two and opted for the 27mm valve, which fit up appropriately for the procedure. The system offers simulation for different valve types. In this case, a balloon expandable valve of 23 and 26 millimeters was simulated, both relation to the annulus and the left ventricle outflow track. It clearly shown that the 23 millimeter valve is too small for the anatomy and 26 millimeter valve, on the other hand, is slightly oversized. Given the availability of intermediate valve sizes, we selected a 24.5 millimeter MyValve for this procedure, which fit perfectly without any leakage or complication related to the annulus. So the actual procedure is performed after checking the Freeman Geo report, and you must remember to the CT arm angles, free cusp and cusp overlap views. With Heart Navigator TAVI, you will always have some level of assistance throughout the entire procedure. I have highlighted these on the slide. You need to make two recordings for registration from different angles of the patient. We perform it without contrast. Then we align the model to the aortic arch. And if needed later, during live imaging, we can make small adjustment to the registration. Once we have the model overlaid on the X-ray, we can cross the aortic valve using the lowest X-ray settings at lowest frame rate and position the wire safely in the left ventricle. The system itself shows the endocardial border of the left ventricle, providing valuable guidance. This is especially important for interventionists who are just starting with the procedure, because biomanagement during transcatheter aortic valve implantation can be quite challenging. In the past, we have encountered issues such as losing the ventricle during device exchange, and unfortunately, in some cases, excessive force on the wire caused ventricular tear, resulting in pericardial effusion. The system also remembers different C-arm positions. To return to the correct C-arm angle, you simply choose the desired view on the screen and press the checkered mark. This means that you don't have to memorize C-arm angles provided the Freeman Geo report. Additionally, if there's any risk of coronary occlusion based on the CT scan result, the system offers optimal visualization of either of the coronary ossea being helpful during balloon inflation and contrast injection into the root. Here you can see C-arm positions calculated by the system. The three circles represent the deepest point of the leaflets. In the center, you see the free cusp view, while on the right, the cusp overlap view. The red markings indicate on two extreme C-arm position, which might not be achievable during the procedure. You can also add the tissue structures from the CT scan. In the next slide, you can see that we mark the carotid artery for alternative access. In this case, we perform the transcatheter, carotid implantation, starting with the cusp overlap view, opening the valve, checking the depth of it, and then gradually asking the system to move to free cusp, overlap free cusp view, checking again the depth of the valve. It was a little bit too deep, so we positioned the valve higher, opened it into the aorta. As a result, we achieved an excellent outcome. You can also appreciate the wire was positioned slightly over the apex, but there was no risk of ventricular compromise. But CT registration isn't only useful for wire management and cusp views. It can also assist with the implantation of cerebroprotective devices. In this case, we prepared for Sentinel device implantation, marked the brachiocephalic and the carotid artery, and we were able to perform the Sentinel implantation without using any contrast, relying solely on the CT-based overlay visible on the X-ray. This is an extreme case. We performed a pulmonary valve-in-valve procedure. This entire system had to navigate through these complex curves from the inferior caval vein into the right atrium, right ventricle, through the pulmonary artery to ensure the safest and most stable position for the steep wire, and to allow the MyVal system flex slightly to follow these curvatures. The superimposed visualization of the different chambers proved extremely helpful in performing the procedure effectively and safely. Other procedures can also be guided by CT fusion imaging, particularly in cases involving the mitral valve. Sometimes biological valves lack contrast visibility or radiopaque markers. Proper alignment of the mitral plane in a single line is essential to determine both the depth and trajectory of the device for accurate implantation. CT guidance is also highly valuable for complex interventions such as paravalvular leak closure. Regarding CT superimposition with Heart Navigator, I can say that it significantly improved procedural planning beyond that you see in Freeman Geo report alone. It clearly results in less radiation exposure, reduced contrast use, safer wire management throughout the procedure, better coronary visualization, and easier handling of C-arm angles. So let's continue with Echo Navigator, which we mainly use for mitral clip procedure, but it's valuable in many other cases as well, you're going to see. So without Echo Navigator, we would rely solely on the traditional echocardiographic guidance for all the steps of the intervention. So the whole procedure demands ongoing real-time imaging with the, by the echocardiographer. With Echo Navigator, you receive a lot of support at every step of the procedure. In this system, we require two projections to record and align the echocardiograph 3D dataset on the X-ray image. However, once it is done, and it really takes only a few seconds, you get a clear contour of the atrium, the ventricle, and even the valve. The pulmonary vein is marked by a small triangle, the correct transseptal puncture height by a blue strip. Thanks to these landmarks on the X-ray image, when advancing the SG catheter, you no longer need continuous visualization of the intraatrial septum. You can always see how deep you are inside the left atrium. Having the structures visualized, you can align the annular plane in one line. And when you insert the clip through the SG catheter into the left atrium, it's also safely guided, and the clip's trajectory can be aligned toward the true ventricular apex, not just by the heart contour. And even the clip implantation itself is greatly supported by the animated overlay on the X-plane image. So let's see an everyday case. We've completed the registration. So on the lower right panel, you can see the atrium, the ventricle, and the triangle marking the pulmonary vein. You can see that the annulus is tilted, so it's not in one line. So we adjusted the C-arm position to align the mitral annulus into a single plane. It is rail 35 and cranial 6 at this patient. With this setup, you can clearly visualize how deep you are in with the clip and also track the medial and lateral position of the clip directly, simply by looking on the superimposed echocardiographic images on the X-ray screen. Here you can see the SG catheter positioned inside the left atrium, although it's not visible on the echo because it's too far away from the leaflet. You know that you are safely inside the left atrium. When it's time to implant the clip, you simply advance the clip out and then retract the entire SG catheter, just only looking on the left atrial contour. Here you can see the maneuvering of MNAB is performed safely without the need of continuous echocardiographic monitoring. Only the commissural view is used at this situation. Now the clip is positioned correctly. In this view, you can see the trajectory clearly. The clip is pointing toward the apex of the left ventricle. We initially gripped the leaflet here, but after echocardiographic analysis, we decided to reposition the clip slightly more centrally. And please watch the lower right panel of the image. You can see in the animation that the system allows very precise positioning at the annular level, helping to compare the medial and the lateral position clearly. The clip's arm are also very well visualized in relation to the annular plane, which greatly assists in achieving optimal placement. So let's look at another video where we demonstrate the process again. Our Abbott support team is always surprised how easy and fast it's to bring the clip into the correct starting position above the valve. You can clearly appreciate when we advance the whole system. In the commissural view, it moves smoothly inside, and the animation clearly follows the echocardiographic image. Clip positioning within the left atrium is primarily guided by visualization of the anatomical contours, while echocardiography is mainly used to assess the anteroposterior position and the orientation of the clip arms relative to the coaptation surface. But of course, we are not only dealing with standard cases. Here's an example of a particularly challenging one. On the left, you see the transthoracic apical four chamber view showing a massively enlarged left atrium with a volume at least twice of the left ventricle. On the right side, the screening echo highlights how deep the annulus and the leaflets are located within the atrium. In such cases, even the transseptal puncture becomes challenging. With a large rotated atrium like this, achieving perfect puncture site is absolutely crucial for the procedural success. In this case, you can see that the system did not perfectly recognize the atrial anatomy, but it's not a major issue because it still clearly highlights the region of interest. The target zone for transseptal puncture is shown as a blue strip along the atrial surface, marking the height of 4.5 centimeter for the mitral valve. The drawing corresponds roughly to the actual size and dimension of the left atrial atrium. By aiming the transseptal needle toward the blue strip, you can see that the puncture is neither too posterior nor too anterior. It's rather centered both in the bicaval and the aortic view. In this video, it may appear that the SG catheter is outside the atrium, but in fact, the wire had not entered the pulmonary vein. Instead, it curved back towards the transducer, clearly illustrating the extreme enlargement of the left atrium. And you can also see how far the transducer is away from the mitral valve itself. Here we are aiming with the clip, checking the trajectory, and you can see it points towards the apex of the ventricle, indicating that the trajectory is aligned. Good. And with the successfully completed procedure, you can see in the animation that the leaflets follow the movement of the clip. So despite the challenging distorted anatomy and the difficulty in visualization, with the transesophageal transducer being quite far from the region of interest, we were able to perform the mitral procedure effectively from puncture to closure within 1 hour. However, a hook navigator is not used exclusively for mitral procedures. For example, we also use it for triclip implantation, following the same concept as with mitral clip procedures, aligning the annular plane in a single line relative to the CN position, checking the clip trajectory, and assessing the depth of the clip regarding to the annular plane. Here, the yellow shadows represent the right atrium and the ventricle. The annulus is seen in a one line. The CN position is right anterior oblique 63 and cranial 13, so it is not just Rheo. And you can clearly see the trajectory of the clip, which is pointing toward the apex. Here, the clip's arms are open, and we work to achieve the optimal position, capturing both the septal and anterior leaflets. At this point, you can see the clip is positioned a little too deep inside the right ventricle, increasing the risk of caudal entanglement. Ideally, this should be avoided, but fortunately, in this case, we were able to proceed without getting caught in the chordae. The first clip was successfully implanted in the anterior septal position, and we aimed to place a second clip at A2 septal position. Here you can see that the clip is positioned slightly too posteriorly, as visualized on the animation and on the X-plane image. With the clip arms open, we position the clip towards the A2. So this initial placement was slightly more toward P1, but we were able to adjust it to A2 and ultimately achieving an excellent result. Echo Navigator provides critical support not only during complex structural interventions, but also in seemingly routine cases. In such instance involving an ASD closure, the procedure would not have been successfully completed without it, the Echo Navigator's assistance. Initially, we attempted the procedure without navigation support. The ASD was central at the level of the foramen ovale. So after several unsuccessful attempts by different interventionists and more than half an hour to trying to cross the defect, we finally decided to use Echo Navigator. So the echocardiographer marked the defect, and with the marker on the screen, it took just a few minutes to get through and safely found ourselves at the pulmonary vein, marked nicely by the triangle. As the occluder was implanted, you can see how clearly the marker highlighted the defect itself. So without Echo Navigator, this procedure would have either been impossible or would have required a lot of intense and frustrating attempts to cross the defect. To sum up, these features add intelligence functionality to hybrid dream procedures. It reminds me a lot of the driver assistance system in modern cars. You have navigation showing the pathway for your device, lane keeping assist helping you to stay within the chamber, and many other smart functions. For me, the real challenge in presenting this topic is that you don't realize how much you need these functions until you actually experience them. Just like you can drive a car to any destination without driver assistance, but with driver assistance system, you arrive more safely via the best route and feeling much less exhausted afterwards. Honestly, even I was quite a bit skeptical, but just by just seeing presentations about these features, but having them at everyday practice, I am fully convinced that these intelligence functions significantly improve safety, reduce procedural time, and dramatically lower contrast use and radiation exposure in our lab. So I would really like to thank you for your attention. And if you're interested, you are warmly welcome to visit us in Debrecen to discuss the final details of these functions, because this was only the surface of these options. So please feel free to reach out to your Philips representative to arrange a visit to your lab. Here you can see the names of all the members of our structural team that I'm really proud to work with. And I would like to thank you again for your attention.
CT image integration, what about the MR imaging and integration into the X-ray? Because we have a lot of clinical situations where we better need the MR, for example, late gadolinium enhancement and other things to be integrated into the X-ray. So can you tell us about this? Please switch on your phone. Yeah.
My phone is on.
Yeah, it's working. Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, I missed the first part of the question, but I think it was related to me. There are one or two tools which are also working with MR,
yes.
Right? I think we need to look into this to which ones they are and what is the quality, right? Somehow we need to segment out the parts and the elements, and they should somehow be visible on the image to actually take the information out from MR.
Yeah. So now I know this procedure from the pulmonary vein isolation where you should do the segmentation first and then to integrate, but it costs some time, but the information is perfect, so more or less. Do you have also this for late gadolinium enhancement and the viability of myocardium, things like that? Because what I do, my personal is MR-guided endomyocardial biopsy, so guided by the MR. Is it possible in a Philips system?
We need to check with the MR specialist, so I don't have personally all the details of what is possible on the MR. I know that Michael Zara is listening in. Let's follow up this one in Brno at the Congress itself.
Yes, we'll be in contact and they will then finalize this question. So probably I will move to Wojtek. So can you tell us something about the advantages of coronary roadmap for the CTO? Because those procedures are difficult. So what is the main positive thing about of the roadmap?
I don't know if this relates specifically to the CTO,
But usually, as an interventional cardiologist, we have some kind of strange reflex. When we don't know what to do, we inject.
Okay.
That's a reflex.
Difficult anatomy, difficult cases generally. Yeah.
So basically, with this technology, you train yourself to use less contrast, and it's the same with using IVUS. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one option to lower the overall use of contrast and radiation. So for me, this is for the operator. This is the irradiation, and for the patient, it's the contrast and the radiation. So and CTOs are long procedures. So of course you encounter
you will save
multiplies in these long procedures.
Of course. And we have here a question for Attila. So how do you see the future of the valve intervention and the use of the echo navigator and heart navigator? Because we are now in the, let's say, middle phase of the valve intervention, but we have to go further. What is your vision for the future in this field?
Oh, it's a real difficult question.
Yeah, but you are experienced center. You are a very experienced guy. So what do you see, what the technology, what the Philips guys should do for you to be better?
Yeah, for tricuspid, we only see the annulus, so the leaflets might be marked, but it's really difficult sometimes with echocardiography to follow by 2D. So the 3D is going to be real difficult. Maybe have the option to rotate, as Eric showed with the fiber optic system. So somehow to rotate without X-ray rotation, have some kind of a three-dimensional option to both the device, because the device has an echocardiographic sign, and they just register the heart anatomy. So it might be another option. Yeah. But I don't know how they are doing it at Philips. Are they working on this field, I guess, for sure?
Yeah, so we'll discuss it personally in the Brno Cardiology Congress. Thank you very much for your vision. And finally, Wojtek, do you have some questions?
Yeah, I have in mind a question mainly on Eric, in concerning the adoption of the great technologies we just saw in clinical scenarios. Are you specifically trained to make people adopt these technologies? Because I think this could be some struggle on the way to spread these technologies.
That's the adoption is one of the challenges that we see. We try to make it as simple and easy as possible. And I think with the dynamic roadmap, we made it quite easy. There is, for you, no change in workflow, right? It's there. If you don't want to see it, you just focus on the traditional live and reference images. So we try to make it as simple as possible without any interference of workflow. Still, we see that the adoption is not easy, right? So we try to do with trainings like this to make it and create the awareness what a tool can do. But we need, you know, users like yourself telling and showing peers how simple and easy it is, and then the adoption will slowly follow. Yeah. We did see, when we change really steps in workflow, that the adoption is really difficult. But the tool like Dynamic Roadmap, to make it as simple as possible, we do see that it's slowly picking up. But the only way to do it is by peers like yourself, and really prove the added value of such a tool. Yeah.
Okay,
thank you.
Eric and Attila, thank you very much to joining us. It was a great session, so with many followers. So we'll continue the discussion in Brno and in personal part of the Congress. Thank you once more. And dámy a pánové, my se s kolegou Vojtěchem tady loučíme a děkujeme vám za to, že jste nás sledovali a že jste dávali otázky a že toto sympózium bylo jistě přínosem letošního sjezdu České kardiologické společnosti. Hezký den.
Hezký den.